Sokala Duma Radio.
Because of the lack of televised games and because of the prize money between the NFD and the PSL, the difference in the prize money, there had always been these little undertones and currents of potential match fixing. There have been some allegations made in relation to certain high-ranking officials, with the GLAD Africa Championship being what it is and a considerable amount of money now available for distribution. I think it's not coincidental that all of a sudden this is coming to the fore. We are constantly investigating from an appointments perspective. The punishment is basically banishment for life.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Welcome to the big interview. This week, allegations were made on a certain popular sports radio show that there is match fixing taking place in the GLAD Africa Championship, with referees being accused of dubious calls specifically aimed at benefiting certain teams' promotion hopes. These fresh allegations come during a time when the league has found sponsorship for the first time in years, and it's a bit of a strange coincidence. Apart from GLAD Africa, a lot of us have questions regarding the state of match officiating in the PSL and lower leagues, and the possibility of adopting VAR. To get some clarity, I've invited SAFA's chairman for referee appointments, Ari Saldados, on the line. Remember, you can follow us on Spotify, Apple, and Google Play to get notifications for all of our latest episodes. I am your host, Slu Paho, and this is Sokala Duma Radio.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Happy to be joined on the line by the chairman of referee appointments for SAFA, Ari Saldados. Ari, welcome to Sokala Duma Radio.
Thanks very much for having on your show, Slu.
So, first things first, I wanted to get the lowdown on this issue of allegations of match fixing in the GLAD Africa Championship. What have you heard thus far with regards to that?
I haven't heard the entire broadcast or the transmission of what was actually said, but from what I do understand and the snippets that I have heard, is that there have been some allegations made on the radio in relation to certain high-ranking officials within the football fraternity, as well as certain officials themselves. And from that point of view, of course, these allegations and these concerns are, in fact, alarming to myself.
Yes, I can imagine. So one thing that I wanted to clarify, I did reach out to the PSL as well. They said that they haven't received official complaints as of yet. So is this something that's going to be investigated further? And if yes, how are you going to go about that?
Well, you know, let me put it to you this way, Slu. Insofar as investigations are concerned, we are constantly, in that particular sense, investigating from an appointments perspective. We are very mindful of what's occurred in this particular context decades ago. We had the Picard Commission, we had the Semenya Commission, we had all of these types of commissions of inquiry at points in time of our football history, so to speak, where there had been allegations of match fixing, corruption, and the like. So as far as informal investigations are concerned, from an appointments perspective, we are always very mindful and very cautious of the propensity and perhaps even the tendency on the part of both corruptors and corruptees to become involved in these types of activities. As far as a formal investigation is concerned, that is something which would obviously need to be determined between the National Soccer League and SAFA from perhaps a disciplinary or more legalistic perspective. But certainly the public can rest assured that we, from an appointments point of view, are constantly mindful of the tendency and perhaps the temptation of individuals to engage in these types of activities. We would like to think that they are not, but of course we do remain mindful to that.
Does it become more difficult when dealing with the GLAD Africa Championship in terms of kind of having footage and evidence to support these allegations in terms of the investigation perspective, for example?
Absolutely. You see, at least in the Premier Soccer League, and of course all the competitions played under its jurisdiction, we do have 99% of the games which are televised. And as a result of that, the tendency, or as I mentioned earlier on, the temptation might be all the more tempered, so to speak, on both the part of the clubs and any potential officials that might become involved in this type of activity. But from the GLAAD Africa perspective, very few of the games are televised, so it does become more difficult from that particular point of view. We do nonetheless rely upon our match commissioners' reports. Our match commissioners are generally speaking excellent at the jobs which they undertake. And from that point of view, they would, I believe, sense if there was any form of impropriety from that perspective.
I do find it interesting that these allegations are being made the first season in so many years that the NFD has a sponsor in GLAAD Africa and proper prize money at the end of the competition. Do you think that perhaps people might be taking advantage of that, the fact that there's still not a lot of televised matches, but there's a very real prize at the end of it?
You know, Slu, you're right in the sense that for the first time over the last day or two, somebody or some people have actually come forward and blatantly spoken about it, pinpointing certain individuals. Over the last, and I can tell you, I've been doing appointments now since 2004, I think it is. Gosh, it's a long time. Mm-hmm. But there have always been these almost innuendos and this underlying tone of potential corruption in what was then the NFD, or I think at a particular point in time, it was called the Mvela League before that.
Yes, Mvela Golden League.
So, yes, that's right. So, you know, because of the lack of televised games and because of the prize money between the NFD and the PSL, the difference in the prize money, there had always been these little undertones and currents of potential match fixing. Has anything ever been proven? Absolutely not. Have there been allegations? Well, I think as long as we have sport and prize money and all that, there would always be allegations forthcoming from certain quarters. But yes, I think you're absolutely right. With the prize money, with the GLAAD Africa Championship being what it is, and the considerable amount of money now being available for distribution to winners and succeeding teams, I think it's not coincidental that all of a sudden this is coming to the fore with such intensity.
And you mentioned the previous instances of this. I remember also in 2016, 8 PSL officials were prosecuted for something similar. How are these situations handled, and what is the punishment for this type of accusation?
Yes, well, the punishment, as far as we are concerned, for individuals who are engaged in this type of activity is basically banishment for life. There is a school of thought which believes that individuals should be afforded, provided that they come clean and they play open cards with the necessary authorities, that they should be afforded an opportunity of rehabilitation and coming back into the professional leagues. There are divergent opinions on that, but from our particular perspective, we believe that the minute that there is any form of impropriety insofar as any form of corruption or corrupt match activities are involved, that should put paid to that individual's career. Not only because of the fact that the punishment should fit the crime, but more importantly that it acts as a deterrent to those whom I suggested earlier on might be tempted to engage upon these type of activities, lucrative as they may be.
Yes. So moving to the PSL now, luckily there's been no allegations of match fixing there, we can say, but there have been questions surrounding the quality of match officiating this season. So I wanted to ask,
yes,
season by season, are these criticisms that Safa takes and kind of reevaluates themselves for the next season?
Gosh, yes, absolutely. You know, let me just give you a bit of the philosophy behind appointments for argument's sake. Nobody, an official, I'm talking about an assistant referee, a referee, or a match commissioner, has an entitlement to be appointed simply because his or her name appears on our panels. So what we do from an appointment perspective is we measure the attitude of an official at a particular point in time, the fitness levels of that official, his assessments or her assessments over the preceding period, whether that individual may be going through a slump in form, as very often happens with players. You know, it's very much a seasonal thing. The individual may be having personal difficulties at home and the like. So what we do is we dispel any form of understanding that an official, simply because his or her name appears on the panel, is entitled as of right to appointments. Appointments are a privilege. From a SAFA perspective, we take every single match, the match commissioner's report, television footage, DVDs, and the like. They're assessed by a review committee. Whether there's a complaint about officiating from a particular club or not, the individual's performance, both from a referee and an assistant referee perspective, is monitored and assessed. And in circumstances where we get those particular reports and the marks which are provided by both the commissioner and the review committee, and we believe that an individual may be going through a slump in form, we commence a rehabilitation process. There have been some pretty bad decisions this season, not the referees, but more offside calls.
Yes.
And we are currently involved in a seminar conference with all our officials, and we're focusing particularly on offsides, the lack of ball watching, which is, I believe, one of the fundamental issues which we do need to concentrate on. An assistant's ability to watch that second last defender without ball watching. Generally speaking, we are not displeased, I must tell you. You know, when you think of how many games are undertaken on a weekly basis between the GLAAD Africa Championship and the Premier Soccer League, you'll have a look at how few games in the scheme of things actually go by without incident. Where we do have a difficulty, and where there appears to be this perception that overall the standard of officiating has declined, is that in the relatively few, and I do emphasize few, instances where there have been these particular mistakes, they've been fairly high profile mistakes, as a result of which you guys in the media, correctly I must say, latch onto it and actually focus and draw the attention of the public to it. We are not averse to criticisms, so not at all. We're in the professional game and we must be criticized. Where we err, and we need to take that on the chin.
I will say this, though. Surely there's a better way for coaches and SAFA and the PSL to communicate, because I actually noticed doing research here that Pitso Mosimane, Sundowns coach, has actually criticized the same referee twice in the space of a year, both times January, and it was Abongile Tom.
Yes.
And I just wonder, doesn't that kind of rile up fans and put a target on the refs' backs rather than...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Now, you know, in, for example, UEFA, and if you have a look at the English Premier League, criticism of referees is absolutely taboo.
Mm.
It carries a sanction forthwith. Now, I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that we're immune from criticism. As I said, a couple of things that I see introduced is almost indaba between the coaches, the referee, management, and the like, and the referees themselves, where they can get to understand one another, what their respective concerns may be, and how they may go about criticizing a particular official or officials in circumstances where it's due. You know, yes, targeting a particular ref publicly does, in fact, incur the wrath of the public, and invariably there will be repercussions which flow from that. I agree with you completely.
And so I'd also like to ask, with PSL posting record earnings last year, will the average pay for PSL referees increase, and do you think this will incentivize an increase in quality in the match officiating over time?
This monetary related, I don't think that in circumstances where there has been a substandard performance on the part of one or more of our officials, that is in consequence of money or lack thereof. I think genuine mistakes are made from time to time, and I don't believe at the end of the day that the increasing of the remuneration or stipends which may be paid would have a direct effect on the quality of the officiating as such. But what I am a strong proponent of is the introduction of full-time professional refereeing. That, I believe, where an individual can actually get out onto the park on a weekly basis, during the week, whatever the case may be, and undertake his or her duties without the concerns of having to rush back to work, catch an aeroplane to be back at the office or in the factory the next morning and the like. I believe we would then be in a position to actually focus on training, focus on upliftment of our referees, areas of vulnerability, such as what I spoke about a few moments ago with regard to ball watching and the like. And that would have a knock-on effect with regard to the overall product, which would be produced in due course.
So you mentioned that you've been in this position for about 16 years. From your perspective, how long do you think, how far away from a PSL where every single match is refereed by someone who has a refereeing as their full-time job, how long do you think we are from that?
You know, there are various issues which we need to canvass in relation to that. The one being a sponsor. We need to get the financial backing of a proper and suitable sponsor that would be in a position to ensure that these referees are adequately equipped from a financial perspective, from an HR perspective. These individuals would then become employees, like they are in the United Kingdom, in the Barclays Premiership. They fall under the auspices of what is called the PGMOL. The PGMOL is their employer. Hopefully, all things being equal, and if I had my way, I'd like to see this introduced within the next 3 to 5 years, Luke. But as I say, I'm just the appointments chairperson, so I don't have any jurisdiction in that regard.
I can understand. So lastly, I feel as though I have to touch on this because it's been thrown around a lot this season, but there's been a lot of discussion regarding adopting VAR. Before we chat about PSL, I actually want your thoughts on this. What are your thoughts on the use of VAR so far in Europe?
Oh, gosh. I think so far it's been mismanaged in certain respects. The individual who introduced VAR is a former colleague of mine, a guy called David Elleray, who is also the president of the Referees Association in England and is the technical director of IFAB. So he is responsible for the law changes and everything else, which we've seen over the last period. And he happened to be out here over December, over the last Christmas. And he was explaining to me where they've erred in the Barclays Premiership in its implementation. And he goes across the world spreading the VAR gospel, so to speak. And he says, if you look in other jurisdictions, Italy, Germany, Spain, and the like, VAR has gone by virtually without a hitch. But he says, in the English Premiership, it seems to have taken on different complexion altogether, simply due to the mismanagement of the process, as he deems it. But he pointed out to me that provided it's implemented properly and provided it's limited in its use and it doesn't actually override absolutely everything, then it could be a very useful tool. You know, from my perspective, Slu, if the guy's toe is slightly offside or whatever the case may be, for goodness sake, we are here to see action. The public want to see goals. They don't want a decision at the end of the day to be put on hold, so to speak, and their excitement and exuberance just basically pacified while they're waiting for some type of technological type of robot almost to make a call on that. So personally, I'm a proponent of the old system. But I do realize that VAR and technology is inevitable. There's so much money in the game these days. It has to be introduced. But from my point of view, if it were introduced with a limit, with a level of circumspection and limitation, it would prove to be more good than harmful to the game.
I see. So for the time being, you'd say that the jury's still out on whether we should adopt it in the PSL.
It is, yes. The jury is out. I think there is a need to adopt it. I think there's a want to adopt it. I understand that there are some discussions which are underway with a view to adopting it. And as I pointed out earlier, some of the contentious and fairly high profile mistakes which have been made this season have advanced the call for VAR to be introduced in the PSL. And all things being equal, I do see it being introduced probably within the next 2 years or so.
I see. Well, thank you very much for joining me on the show. Safa, Chairman of Referee Appointments, Ari Soldatos. Have a fantastic day.
Thanks very much. You too. Bye-bye.
And that's all for the big interview. Hopefully in the coming weeks we'll get more clarity on the situation surrounding the GLAAD Africa Championships match fixing allegations in terms of improvements in match officiating and VAR possibilities. We'll have to give those a couple years. Until then, how about you go and pick up the latest Soccer La Duma newspaper for only 4 Rand. In the latest edition, Tukelo Ranti's mentor speaks out about the former Sundown star's fall from grace. Plus, the Sia crew investigates Cardoso's next move. From myself, Slu Paho, and my editor, Simon Strella, have a fantastic day.
Soccer La Duma Radio. Soccer La Duma Radio.